Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch. We have marched around the grinder with Semper Paratus. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair through the gracious permission and authorization of not only the Federal Communications Commission, but also Voice of Vashon, 101.9 on the frequency modulated band, and voiceofvashon.org, streaming live all over the world to Captain Joe's people in Singapore and all the way around the world to Captain Joe's people in Stockholm and all of the ships at sea in between, the aircraft in the air, and all of Captain Joe's people wherever they may be. Today we're going to be talking about things ice-related, ships that go into the ice and survive and work in the ice, and a book and a magazine, things that we have as part of my regular things that I talk about. So first of all, of course, is always the binnacle list, and I just had a telephone call from Mary's brother, Brian, and he has just now achieved a very high place on the binnacle list. He's had some very serious cancer surgery, and we hope that it has all been gotten, of course. And I've not been on the Coast Guard channel for a few days. I am not ill. I am not on the binnacle list myself. All of you who monitor my health and welfare and well-being on the Coast Guard channel, but I will get back on. I mention this because, of course, I do not know in detail who on the channel might be also on the binnacle list. So I make here a general remark that all of you are in the captain's heart and mind. And it is my wish and my hope and my command that you come off of the binnacle list just as soon as can be medically and operationally done. The ship that's on the binnacle list is Roger Blau, and thanks to my young colleague in the Great Lakes who keeps me updated on Roger Blau. She, of course, is the ship that caught on fire at the Bay Shipbuilding Corporation where she was in winter layup. And now one estimate is that in order to repair her, it will cost about $20 million U.S. But her replacement cost, and this is the thing that her owners are considering right this very minute, her replacement cost would be, my estimate is over $100 million and 2 to 3 years in construction. So the decision-making that's going on with her owners is whether or not they can bring her back. My guess is, John, that they will be able to bring her back. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some doing. But that would be less than construction time and cost for new construction. I really hope that she can be brought back. She is a fine ship. She's about 50 years old now. But because she's operated only in fresh water in the Great Lakes, she's not suffered the kind of degradation that happens to ships that work in salt water. I did mention that I had been working Roger Blau through the west end of Lake Erie, and that's how I learned about flushing the head in the captain's cabin to determine whether or not we were smelling the bottom. I forgot to mention that the reason why the water level was down on that side of Lake Erie was that the wind had been blowing from the west for several days, and Lake Erie is an enormous paella pan, and when the wind blows across the face of it, it moves the water and the ice that's sitting on top of it all the way over to Buffalo. I have broken out Buffalo, and there's probably a song about that, breaking out Buffalo. In any case, I've broken out Buffalo, and I went in and pulled out one of our ice-breaking tugs that had gotten herself up on top of the ice and was leaning over. So that's why there was less water on the west end of Lake Erie and more water on the east end, which is where I did not want to be and where I wasn't. And that's why Roger Blau and I were working together and we were smelling the bottom. But I bring this up with a principle of hydrology, and that is in shallow lakes like Lake Erie, the water can be pushed all the way over to the other side. And you can demonstrate this by getting out your very own paella pan, putting about an inch of water in it, and then and then blowing across the face of it, and you can watch how the water moves over to the other side. Although this has nothing to do with the ice or ice-related matters, it is a subject of great interest to me, and that is Stonehenge. And there's been Stonehenge, of course, is the circle of stones that is was constructed about 5,000 years ago on the Salisbury Plain. Not very far from there is the city of Salisbury, and the city of Salisbury is the bishopric seat of the Bishop of Salisbury and Salisbury Cathedral, which is my favorite of all of the English cathedrals. And the reason it's my favorite is that it the proportions of it are absolutely perfect. It has a very tall spire, and it is one of the very few of the cathedrals that has no undercroft. It's built on top of a huge pan of stone, and it is just incredibly beautiful. And it remains as plumb almost as it was the years when the steeple was built. The steeple was an addition to the cathedral that came after its first construction. So anyway, Stonehenge, I digress, as I often do, over to Salisbury Cathedral to advocate for a visit to that cathedral when we can all travel again. So all of the stones came from Wales, about 140 miles away. Imagine hauling all of those stones from Wales to the Salisbury Plain and building the circle of stones and then putting on top of them the capstones. It's an incredibly beautiful thing to go out there and to see it. And when Mary and I were living in Cambridge, we would always take visitors out to Stonehenge because it's a wonderful thing to see and to get right up close to it. So the new thing that has happened is that in the site where they believe that the stones came from originally, they have found the sockets for an even larger circle in Wales. And it is possible that the vertical stones that are now at Stonehenge were at one time making up the circle in the where the sockets are in Wales. There's a lot more to this, and I've not done any research on it. I just picked up a little snippet of the clip. But I'm fascinated by everything connected with Stonehenge, just as I am connected with the construction of the pyramids and how that was done. I will probably comment on that sometime when I have new things to report. In our own news, there is now a piece of legislation that's being crafted to have a commission that will investigate what happened on the 6th of January, 2021, when our Capitol was invaded and desecrated. And I have heard it likened to the 9/11 commission. I choose to liken it to the commission that was put together after Pearl Harbor. The commission that was put together after Pearl Harbor, it took a long time for that work to be completed. And one of the conclusions was that Admiral Kimmel, who was the naval commander at Pearl Harbor, bore some of the responsibility for the attack. And whether or not history has borne that out, I leave that to a future discussion. Maybe when we get to Pearl Harbor Day, I'll have something to say about that. But in any case, the importance of these commissions and the non-politicization of these commissions cannot be overemphasized, because we need to figure out how these things happen. We need to figure out not only who was responsible, but how we correct and rectify whatever it was that caused things like this, events like this in our national history to happen. So I am changing the name of it from the 9/11-like commission to the Pearl Harbor-like commission. The book for this week is a book called Tom Crean. Tom Crean was one of the people who was with Scott, but not with Scott to the South Pole, and he was also with Shackleton. The book is Tom Crean. The subtitle is Unsung Hero of the Scott and Shackleton Antarctic Expeditions. It is authored by Michael Smith, and the publisher is The Mountaineers Books. And a couple of things about the Tom Crean story. The reading or looking at the preface to the book, my copy of it, is that it says that the Dingle Peninsula in Kerry in Ireland is one of Ireland's most beautiful spots. And it goes on to say that there is a small village of Annascaul. And in the village of Annascaul is a pub. And the name of the pub is the South Pole Inn. And over the doorway to the pub is a sign that says Tom Crean, Antarctic Explorer, 1877-1938. I recommend the book because it is a little bit different approach to both the Scott and the Shackleton stories. It is extremely well written and illustrated. And for people who either have Irish forebears, which is many of us, and many of Captain Joe's people are of thus and so, or who are going to Ireland and who want to make a connection to the Antarctic, the golden age of exploration in Antarctica, they might want to go to this little village of Annascaul and find the South Pole Inn and talk to some of the people there who are descendants of Tom Crean. So we are coming up on the anniversary months of the events that happened with the culminated in the death of Scott in March of 1912. So right now in February we are in the part of the journey where they the five of them coming back from the South Pole are headed into a pretty bad storm, and this is described by Smith in the book. It's also described in a number of other sources. And I will be talking about these events as we arrive at the anniversary dates. I am a great admirer of Scott. I do not agree with some of the preparations that he took and some of the decisions that he made, but he made those decisions based on the best information that he had and the experience that he had. And this is true also of Shackleton. One can find little fault in the Shackleton story in that he saved, had all of his men rescued, and of course Scott died along with his colleagues, his friends, his comrades, his mates. And when we get to the anniversary of Scott's death, I will read from absolutely Cherry Garrard's book, The Worst Journey in the World. Cherry Garrard's description of Scott's funeral, which was held right on the ice, and Scott and his mates are still out on the ice to this very day. But we'll be talking about that as we get closer to this. But the book that I am recommending, Tom Crean, and Crean is spelled C-R-E-A-N. The book is by Michael Smith, and it is a very well-researched, very well-written, and well-illustrated. In fact, in the illustrations is a photograph of the South Pole Inn, so that if you ever go to Annascaul, you will be sure that you get the right inn and not go into one called dog in bush or something like that. So that's the book for today. Out on the federal anchorage, right out off of the deck of Captain Joe's, of Captain's Quarters, has been one of those car carriers, this time owned by the company called Willenius. And she sailed this morning, so she's not there, and I wasn't able to pick up her name before she got away from me. But she's looking really rough. And we've talked about these car carriers because Golden Ray is still being broken up down in Georgia. And we've had a number of accidents where the cars shifted and then came loose from their from the attachments to the deck, and that's when they roll over. So we've had a number of accidents with these ships because of that, just as we have now had a number of accidents with very large container ships with the containers being washed overboard in really heavy storms. In both cases, it is my hope and my wish, and were it my place to do it, my command, that there be serious investigation as to how we can better secure these cargoes so that we don't keep losing these ships. Here's my Bravo Zulu for today. Bravo Zulu, by the way, for those of you who are not conversant with the Naval Signal Book, Bravo is the phonetic equivalent for the letter B, and Zulu is the phonetic equivalent for the letter Z. And in the Naval Signal Book, the two letters together, Bravo Zulu, equate to the signal well done. And I use Bravo Zulu here along with well done. And my Bravo Zulu today is for my dear friend and colleague, Captain Truman O'Brien, and his lovely wife, Mary. I had been on the search for the vaccine, and I figured that my chronological, although not my mental, emotional, or otherwise age, would qualify me for, at one point or another, receiving the first shot of the virus vaccine. I kept getting signals from the Department of Veterans Affairs and from the my primary medical care provider, which is a form for you military retirees, a form of TRICARE, that be patient, Captain, because your name and your vaccine will come together sometime soon, and we'll let you know. Well, none of these things had come to pass, and Truman and Mary were, both of them had been paying attention to the business of availability of vaccine here on the magical Isle of Vashon. So it turned up that because a combination of snow days, where we are finally now digging out of quite a bit of snow here on the island, and but nothing like in Texas or nothing like in other parts of the country, certainly nothing like up in the Great Lakes. And so they picked up a notice from Vashon Be Prepared that there were some shots that had gone unbespoke, and he sent me a signal and he said, if you haven't done this, Captain Joe, why don't you get cracking and see if you can't get on the list? So a crack I did, and was able to get on the list, and thanks to Truman and Mary O'Brien and a few other people nagging me about doing this and stop messing around with it. So I did indeed, and I did it at the Vashon Pharmacy. Now, the Vashon Pharmacy is a lot more than just a pharmacy. It is here on the magical Isle of Vashon, a place for people to buy all sorts of tourist-type things, greeting cards, calendars, The Beachcomber, which is our weekly newspaper, and it's sort of an island meeting place. And also that's where they have been giving out these shots. So I made an appointment. I got an appointment. I provided all of the information that was required in order to absolve everybody except me from any liability should I collapse the 10 minutes after I take the shot. I went into the Vashon Pharmacy, and there was a lovely young lady there with a needle and what I am hoping is the proper vaccine and not one for malaria. All of us who took malaria pills during the Vietnam War will remember some pretty unhappy side effects that came out of all of that. So I have to say how efficient and well-run the Vashon Be Prepared, the Vashon Pharmacy, and all of the people connected with all of that were, and how impressed I was with the way that it worked. So I am here sending a Bravo Zulu signal to Truman and to Mary, and my thanks for putting me onto this, to the Vashon Pharmacy, Vashon Be Prepared, and all of the wonderful people that have been doing such wonderful work for the island community and helping to keep us safe. Not very long after I got the shot, I received a signal from somebody who was watching out for my welfare, and the signal said, Captain, here's how you tell whether or not you are being affected. In other words, if you are being immunized, and there are three things that you should have happen to you if in fact this is working the way that it should. So the first of these, at pain at the injection site. And I just backed my arm up against the bulkhead and to see if I felt any pain. No pain there. Fatigue. Well, there is sometimes at the appropriate time of day a certain amount of fatigue, but none untoward and certainly none which kept me from not climbing up into the captain's chair and being with all of my people for my regular Tuesday time at 1 bell of the afternoon watch on Voice of Vashon, 101.9 on the FM band. So none of that. And then the third one was low-grade fever. Definition for a low-grade fever, a fever that is below 100 but above 98.6. None of that either. I'm led to wonder, as I wonder about many things in this world, whether or not the vaccination is working in me, or whether I am immune to not only malaria, having taken Primaquine for all of that time, but also to so many other things. And now, hopefully, this is working the way that it is supposed to work. But I tell you all of this because, first of all, it is my wish and my hope, and for those who I still am privileged to command, that you, when it is your turn, that you take the vaccine, that you book the one for the next 2 weeks after that, which I have done, and that if you experience any one of those three, or two, or three, that this is apparently relatively normal, and you are going to be all right. The magazine this week is Sidelights, and Sidelights is the journal for the Council of American Master Mariners. I've been a member of the council for many, many years, and Sidelights came to me just a few days ago, and on the front cover, not to my wondering eyes should appear, but to my grateful eyes should appear, a artist rendition of the new icebreaker that is going to be constructed. I thought that steel had already started to be cut for that ship. My disappointment is complete that has not even started to happen yet. But the artist rendition shows this very large ship with an unusual bow arrangement. And unfortunately, the artist rendition does not show open bridge wings. Now, it is my belief, which is conditioned by never serving or commanding a ship that did not have open bridge wings, that I am a great believer in them. I think not only do you need to, especially if you're breaking ice, you need to get a feeling for the atmosphere around you, but you need to be able to look aft, look forward, look down, and you can best do this from an open bridge wing. So I am hopeful that when the ship is finally built, that she will have open bridge wings. But in any case, that was the cover, and the cover had this lovely photograph of her. And then I opened the magazine, and much of it has to do with things having to do with ice and ice seamanship and ice-breaking ships. So here's one of the articles is about navigating the St. Lawrence River. So when I took Northwind up into the Great Lakes to break ice that entire winter, I was the last ship upbound through the St. Lawrence River. And one of the elements, one of the paragraphs in this particular article talks about the title of the paragraph is Navigating Safely, the St. Lawrence Pilots. Now, we've talked on this program before, and I have discussed fairly frequently the relationship that I have had many times with pilots in places where I have to take them. In most of the Canadian stretches of the St. Lawrence Freeway, for a ship of the size of Northwind, there is mandatory pilotage, and I had to take one. However, all of the aids, except for a few winter aids, had been taken out, and so the ranges were kept on. Ranges are lights which, when they are in line, give you a course to steer, and so the ranges have been kept on, and they're very bright, very powerful, and so I had to take pilot, but I said, pilot, it looks to me like, first of all, this is a pretty easy waterway to navigate, and secondly, the ranges are on, and I'm assuming that the ranges are at the correct alignment so that I'm not going to run aground. And pilot said, Captain, all of those things are true. And I said to the helmsman then, all right, put her on the range and just keep her on the range and we'll be fine. And so pilot and I, just as we did with the pilot in Wellington, New Zealand, seeing that this was a clean, nice, clean, seaman-like operation, we just visited and talked as captains do. So the St. Lawrence Seaway is a wonderful, wonderful waterway. If you are ever given the opportunity to take a cruise, there are shallow draft cruises that go on to the St. Lawrence Seaway, and it is a wonderful trip. Go, if you can do it, go all the way to Montreal. But if you can do it, keep on going all the way from Montreal into the Great Lakes themselves and go all the way over to Duluth. So I am watching the clock here. I did not get to many of the things that I wanted to get to. They'll wait till next week. So it is, as always, my custom to end my broadcast with my wishes that each of you who have people for whom you are responsible, watch out for them as the week goes on. I will be doing the same for all of the people who are Captain Joe's people. You know that we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair. And as always, on station and watching properly.